Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Unicorn Finders show, which basically we bring on really cool companies that you probably haven't heard of yet that are a really cool ship. So that is what we do. I'm joined today by my co-host Dan and the wonderful Sarah Allen Preston. Dan, it's been a minute. How's Tampa, man? How's Tampa?
Tampa's great, man. We had a rain storm yesterday, brought in a nice cool front, high in the mid-70s for the weekend. So, again, the greatest place on earth, continues to be the greatest place on earth. How's your tummy feeling?
My tummy was never upset, Dan. It was a sinus head cold, but thank you for your concern. I appreciate it. I had to cancel on Dan last week, Sarah. He was very upset with me. So he thought I had a tummy ache. I didn't. I had a sinus infection. So, anyways. All right. So very excited to have Sarah Allen Preston on the show this morning. I met Sarah randomly at the bar at the hotel, the Line Hotel in Austin. She was fantastic. Really cool company. So excited to have you on. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I know. What a serendipitous meeting. It was really fun. And I'm glad we're reconnecting.
Absolutely, was Taylor drinking something with an umbrella in it?
I don't know.
It was rosé.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That was my second guess.
I was as well, though. So we were simpatico.
Yes. I love it. Absolutely. So, Sarah, give a rundown of a float. I think it's a really cool company. I was telling her backstage, Dan, that it's nice to like not deal with like nerdy people and like nerdy companies for a second and have a change of pace, because we usually have very like SaaS based companies on. So, Sarah, if you want to give a quick background about what a float is to kick it off.
Totally. Yes, I am definitely a non-technical founder, and we are a gifting app. So we approached gifting as an ecosystem, but really with the consumer lens initially. The concept came out of a couple personal life experiences that I had, where I realized that caring and connection is really tangible through gifting. And it's also really hard to do that thoughtfully and conveniently, right? So I wanted to build something that really made it convenient and amplified connection through tech. So again, I was non-technical. I was an event planner before this. This all came from my youngest son had open heart surgery, and then I went through a divorce and decided to dive when COVID started headfirst into tech to make that happen. So anyway, it is a gifting app, but we really have a SaaS component as well, an amazing tech team that's been able to build that side out. And it connects users with local businesses for really curated same-day gifting. But at the same time, like I said, we make it really convenient, right? So users can go on the app, search from amazing local stores. If I'm in Dallas, I could be sending a teacher gift, right? If I am in Dallas and I want to send Taylor a thank you for this amazing podcast, I can search Nashville, and then I'm able to send something from Layered Bake Shop or Cupcake Collection, G&G.
Please.
I have a great...
Yes, thank you.
They're good, right? Yeah. So it makes it super easy for consumers. And then again, on the store side, we started just enabling them with delivery so we could get this, you know, gifting off the ground for the people that we were originally building for, and then realized, hey, these stores have a great opportunity and need too. So we went into building software for them as well. So it's a two-sided marketplace.
So where are you guys now? Dallas and Nashville, obviously. But where else? What other locations you guys have?
Kansas City, Fort Worth, your fave, actually. San Antonio, Wichita.
My ex-wife's from Fort Worth, so not my favorite. She's a cool city.
Okay, I'm not going to get into that. Gracious. I'm not getting in there.
Going off the rails. Hey, remember I told you to go off the rails real fast live.
Let me put my therapist hat on. Yeah. Let's get into it.
I had that conversation yesterday. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so
Kansas City, Fort Worth, Dallas, Nashville.
Yeah, Wichita, San Antonio, and Atlanta.
That's awesome.
So it's been a wild ride. We launched in 2022, again, with the really consumer side front of mind, and then spent last year really diving into what we could build for the stores, which has been really great.
So you guys make money on markup, or how does it work for you guys?
Yeah, so we take a transaction fee on purchases, and then we also have, for the stores, when we started building that out, it's actually a subscription model. So we have tiers that they subscribe to, different benefits. So the dashboard has, you know, not only the access to logistics on demand delivery, order management, but merchandising tools, marketing tools, and data and analytics. So they can really optimize their business. And then again, we're bringing them into this marketplace where they're able to meet consumers in this buying journey that's really gifting oriented, right? It's different from shopping. Mm-hmm. And because it's a curated marketplace, they're really able to optimize something that you know, isn't done well by an Amazon or a big e-commerce meta search platform, right? Like, that's intimidating. They go to a flip, they know they're going to gift. So the stores have access to this type of behavior really easily too. So
I was just going to say, it's fascinating because these prices, I'm looking at Afloat Nashville, and I don't know any of these brands, obviously, but the prices seem very affordable. And when you look at a lot of these gifting apps, and I know that Vaco uses one for like corporate gifts, and it's just like an absurd cost. Like a bottle of bourbon that's like $40 at the store, it's like $91 to like go through their platform. It seems very affordable and seems like it can attract a much wider swath of people than just, I guess, convenience more than anything.
Totally. Yeah, that was something that was really important to us. And we learned a lot their first year in the market, like what price points, you know, are people sensitive at? We have people that send $1,000 backgammon sets, but we also have people that want to send $20 cupcakes, right? And that can be right. The same person. They want to give, you know, one amazing
gift. Cupcakes over backgammon, by the way. One, I've never played backgammon. Two, cupcakes, always and forever.
Done. My list is made. You're a cupcake guy. I am too, honestly. But although I am really good at backgammon. So we were like, you know, they come for these like, you know, amazing gifts, right? To know that they're there, that they're trusted, that they're going to do a great job gifting. But 9 times out of 10, they need some cupcakes or flowers. So we're really able to offer it all, which has been nice.
What's the OG? So I always love a good OG story. I know you obviously mentioned with your son and going through divorce. I mean, you know, I would say most that would torpedo most people for a bit. You just kind of dove into starting a business, which is even another hard thing to add to your plate. So talk about like where the inspiration came from. I'm also curious too, if you want to tie in kind of the mindset between gifting and shopping. I'm kind of curious to kind of dive into that just from like a psychology perspective. But if you want to start with the first question of just what's the OG kind of story with this?
Totally. Yeah. So yes, it was very weird timing to be going through all of these kind of big life moments and then decide to go do a startup. Like, why do I need that brain damage? I don't know. But I felt so passionately and strong once I started uncovering not only my original pain points, but then this other large opportunity. It kind of became like therapy for me, right? Like I was rebuilding my life and I was getting to go all in and build this company and really help people that were going through, you know, something that I was going through, right? Like if it's a sympathy gift or just being able to help people, whether that's a store, felt really good. So like I said earlier, I was an event planner. I did weddings all across the country. It was amazing. I love my clients. Before that, I'd had a stationery line. I started while I was in college at SMU. Stole that to local gift stores, actually, all across the country. And I'd worked in local stores through high school. So kind of all came full circle. But when I was planning weddings, I had two sons and I was pregnant with my third. I had him and we brought him up from the hospital and I was just like, not feeling it. Like there's something wrong with this baby. I have two others at home. I know, you know, what normal looks like, right? Normal two boys, but you know, relatively right, normal right. looks like.
Yeah.
And
we don't grow up.
Okay. That's good to know. I love you for it. Yeah. I'm boy mom through and through. So, So I kept going back to the hospital and the pediatrician, I'm like, there's something wrong with this kid. And finally, after 2 weeks of these like visits, I think I was going every day at a certain point. A NICU nurse was like, hey, I think I hear a pretty significant murmur. Let's go to the ER. And I was like, I've been there. They won't see me. And she was like, well, I'm going to put these tests in so they'll have to like listen. They did the tests. It turned out that he had AVSD, which is a congenital heart defect. And essentially he had a lot of holes down the center wall of his heart, which some babies are born with and they close, but his were large enough and there were enough of them that it was really going to, you know, start to impede his life past 6 months, he'd go into heart failure. So we went through this 5-month period of trying to get him big enough for surgery, like close to that 6-month mark, but you don't want to like tip the scale, right? Because that's bad news. And it was really, really stressful. I was an art history major. I'm a wedding planner. Like, I don't know how to care for this kid for these 5 months while we're getting him to surgery. And it was completely overwhelming. I felt so underwater. We did get to surgery. He is great now. He's 6. He is a spark plug. His name is Boss, which he totally is. He's living up to it. Love he it. Did since day one, clearly. But anyway, yeah, he's great. But it really opened my eyes when I looked back on it. I was like, I don't remember any of those hard days and how overwhelming and underwater it was. All I remembered, like I said earlier, was, you know, that tangible gift on a doorstep. I'd come home from the hospital, there'd be something there. It didn't matter what it was, right? It'd be,
yeah,
like, yeah, it could be a flower arrangement. It could be some orange juice for the next morning, toys for my other kids, whatever it was. To me, it was someone's thinking about you. You're not alone. You can do this. So that was that connection piece. I was like, this is what life's all about. Like, let's go build this and amplify it through tech. Do I know about tech at this point? Not at all. That's what I wanted to do. So I entered like, you know, a year and a half of just trying to like, hey, what do I mean by this? Like, why was it gifting? How can I bring this to people? What are their pain points? And really sort of testing that out. And then when I went through this difficult divorce as well, it happened to coincide with COVID. And I was like, events aren't happening. I'm going all in on this idea. So
I love that for you. And I love your, I guess your story and your mission personally, right? And you can tell how passionate you are about the business that you're creating, right? I think a lot of people find avenues and they're like, I'm just going to go do that. And they may not love it, right? They may say that they do on this podcast, but you know that they don't, right? Like, nobody loves picking up litter, right? But you found an avenue, right? But it seems to me like you found something that means a lot to you, and then obviously has really created and blossomed for you guys. I know that you mentioned Nashville, Dallas, Fort Worth, Kansas City, San Antonio, Wichita, and of course Atlanta. Don't want to forget them. How do you enter new markets, and how are you choosing how to enter those markets? What's your go-to-market strategy? How are you getting the word out about Afloat?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's, you know, I enjoy every, like you mentioned, every single piece of the business, I think, because it does come from a real mission and passion. And the team that we've built has been just so amazing that all of our team members have that same vibe and drive. So we build out teams in each city. We have a city lead, and we really go very niche at first, right? Like, we find these amazing stores that would be founding members, women in the community that already love these stores. So it's already sort of this little ecosystem and flywheel that we're able to tap into. So that's been really intentional outreach so far. And we have the stores on board, we'll have events, we'll do some sort of hyper local partnerships, whether that's with the school or, you know, a local charity event, just to start to get the word out. We actually haven't done any traditional advertising, no digital advertising, that sort of marketing. We've been really, really hand to hand. And again, building the relationships from, again, that place of authenticity, right? Like, we know connections, what it's all about, and we want to do this really well. That being said, once we, you know, switched our lens and went out of our beta on both the consumer side and the store software side, now we have the ability to sustain more organic growth as well. So we will still be launching new markets. Our next ones are Denver, Austin, and Houston, and a few college towns, and then more later in the year. But at the same time, if someone in Birmingham's like, oh, I've heard of Afloat, I want to, you know, sign up and get on. Now we have that ability to scale without our hand-to-hand combat as well.
Cool. And then how are you guys doing delivery? Do you guys have like delivery drivers?
That was my next question.
I get on a bike and
it's a fantastic workout. I mean, maybe I should start Afloat Tampa so I can get on the bike and do a little bit
more. There you go.
There you go. Yes. You feel good, look good, do good, all those things. No, I'm kidding. But
never look good. Funny.
When I talk to investors, they literally, I think it's a girl and gifting correlation. They just kind of can't get out of their brain. Like, oh, this is like a huge, you know, marketplace, whatever, tech platform. They're like, oh, you're a cute girl in gifting. Do you put them in your car and drive them to people's houses? Like, I'm like, no, what? Like, how? Okay. We have a third party delivery partner, and they have a sort of white label service. So we tap into that, and they're national. So every market that we go into, we have access to their network, which is great. And we're building an API for a secondary one as well. So we'll be able to have options and do more dynamic pricing for consumers.
That's awesome.
I've got another question. So obviously all of these gifts seem super cool, super curated. Really, I mean, looking at it now, it seems like a really cool platform that can attract so many different types of people on there. How do you guys choose which vendors you work with versus how do you reach out to them? What's the reception usually like when you reach out to them? Talk to me a little bit about the client acquisition from a store perspective or from a goods selection component.
Right. So we've been really lucky to have so much inbound and be able to build these relationships with really the stores that we wanted to work with first. Like I mentioned, excuse me, my allergies have been bonkers today. I mentioned we go in the markets, we really identify those founding stores that we think represent our brand, will serve our initial target market of consumers really well. And we've been really fortunate to basically get to work with whoever we've wanted to. That then ends up leading to a lot of inbound because if we have these really great stores, they're posting about us, you know, we're posting about them. People are talking about it, right? Then more stores are like, hey, what is this? I want to be on. So we built our subscription tiers, not only with the software component in mind, but also some just sort of marketing and alignment. So the stores that are coming on, they're like, hey, I want to be like, you know, I'm all about Afloat. I'm all in. I want to be part of the community and get to go to your events and be featured in all of y'all's marketing. Really a lot more like just visible, right? Co-branded alignment.
Yeah.
That's a certain tier. And then if, you know, people want to come on, they're like, hey, I like this. I want to test it, right? Then they're sort of slotted in that middle tier. And then all the way down to like, hey, I just want to throw my name up on your website and be able to be discovered. Maybe they, you know, they don't want to be shoppable necessarily, but they know that people can find them and discover them as one of the best stores, a local store in the country. And that's really growing into an interesting piece because we're seeing a lot of cross-market gifting. So like I said, if I want to send Taylor cupcakes from Dallas, like how else do I do that really thoughtfully? Like jump on DoorDash and like hope it's a good bakery and it's going to come with like a text thank you or like Amazon, you know, paper receipt. All of our gifts come with really nice packaging and branding. So it feels really, really good. And you're able to do something thoughtful from far away, right? Like at the touch of your touch of your finger.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I have no idea where Dan just went. He just magically disappeared. So so talk kind of about like that, like what's upcoming for Afloat. What exciting things are going on? Anything that you can kind of tease or share right now?
Yeah. So like I said, we're launching new markets and that's gonna be really exciting in the next quarter. We are releasing our more robust dashboard. We've been working on that since December. So that's coming mid-May. So a huge tech release, some really great consumer features too that I am bonkers excited about. And then we're going to do a fundraise here in the next 30 or 60 days. So gearing up for that. Yes.
I'm kind of curious, can you tease it all about the dashboard? I mean, I'm sure like providing some sort of data analytics to the customer or to the company is huge. I'm sure that's a huge upsell, right? Because I'm sure a lot of these gifting things probably don't have that, or maybe they do, and maybe it's not robust. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so it's so interesting. No one has built for gifting. Like, you know, national data says—
interesting.
Okay. Right. Like everything's oriented on shopping, Shopify, like, you know, and then outlet wise too, like if I'm going to Nordstrom.com, there's, you know, you can get in the gift section. It's like, are you going to check out as a gift? Mm. It's just not the ecosystem hasn't been addressed holistically from both sides. So for these stores, they are partners specifically, like I said, there's that national statistic, but when we've been talking to our stores and even people that are on our wait list or our pre-sales, they're estimating that over 50% of their daily business is gifting. So we're like, yes. I know.
Damn.
Isn't that crazy? That's and they crazy. Don't have a way to look at the data to know, hey, these special cookies went really well, or these tea towels were actually like all sent as gifts. I should definitely stock up on those for Mother's Day next year. Like there's just so much that they're missing, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't merchandise as effectively as they can. They don't market the right things at the right time if they don't know what selling is gifts, but it's half of their business. And what I get really excited about is like, that is their wedge, right? Like, you know, if you want to give a thoughtful gift, at the end of the day, the best thing to do is go to a local store. Those owners have curated it. They have so much care they put into all of their inventory. Mm-hmm. They're going to wrap it. It's going to be amazing. Like they do that so well. Me just Googling best dad's gifts for golf or whatever.
It's never good.
I do it for Christmas for myself every year. I'm like, I don't know what I want. Right. Just go buy it, I guess. I don't know. But it's dumb. And then it's all just marketing, right? It's like, I get it. Yeah. Harry's razors. You spend $10,000 to be at the top of this article.
Literally. And it's just, it's a meta search. It's a drain. So to me, it's really exciting because I'm like, they're all competing in this digital space, right? SEO pricing is going bonkers. You know, it's just so busy. It's so crowded now to try to get a voice and a foothold in this digital landscape. And they're all doing that, competing with stores that are pushing brands, right? They don't care if you're buying it for a gift or not, whatever. Flip the switch. They're over here doing gifting really, really well. And no one's optimizing for that, right? Like, so let's build that separately and in this amazing, you know, ecosystem where they're already thriving, they can lean in. And these guys over here in SEO land and Amazon land, they're not trying to win gifting, right? Like you know, it's like lean into what you're good at, local stores, like let us help you and empower you to do that because it's a huge market and no one's done it yet. So we're really excited.
How many stores do you like traditionally work with in each market? Right. Cause I know that you guys want to sell that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say it's sort of changing. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We've had, and this was when we were testing our first year just to see what we could sustain. So we've had up to 40 in Dallas and Kansas City. Those were our two original markets. And right now when we've been going into stores with our founding members, we wanted to take 10 max just to make sure we could serve these new markets really, really capably. And then we put a pause on that to go finish the dashboard so that we can, you know, then serve up to, I mean, we can do hundreds, right? Like with the different tiers now, it's really scalable. It's not a very heavy lift on our team. Our partners are all really great. They do the packaging, you know, we have the delivery partner. So we just wanted to make sure that we learned from the original markets what we needed to do to be able to scale. And now we're able to do that and take on really a good amount. And again, that top tier will be the ones that you'll probably see in our marketing. But when you go to the app, they'll be in the website, there'll be hundreds per market. So that is where we are really excited to head and get started knocking down our wait list.
That's awesome. Sweet. Danny, anything else, man? I think
it's a fantastic platform. It looks really cool. I'm excited for the day you come to Tampa. Hopefully you just jot that one down. We're big on local business. We have a lot of cool shit here. And it's the greatest city on earth. So,
yeah. Wow.
Are you going to be our city lead in Tampa?
Sure. Why not? Always looking for other things to take up the 9 minutes of free time I have per week.
Perfect. I'll take it.
I could drop this podcast and do it. That'd be great.
There you go. Well, Sarah, thank you again. Thank you. No, it's fine. Listen. If you snatch up Dan, you got a good one. Shut up, Dan. But again, thank y'all for hanging out with us today. We appreciate it, Sarah. Thank you so much. Stay on so we can say bye to you backstage. But again, cool. Thanks y'all for hanging out with us today. We'll see y'all next week. Y'all have a good one. Peace.